Today Shir Masechta Chagiga Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph on the second line. The Gemara in our previous Shir, based on the Mishnah, taught us that our Tashlumim, that there are makeup days for Shavuos. Midaraisa Shavuos is only a one day Yontif, and it's a Sral, it's a one day Yontif. And the halacha is that, as we were learning in this Masechta, Shavuos is a yontif like all other yom tovim, and since Shavuos is a yontif like all other yom tovim, you have to bring the Olas Riya, the Shalmi Chagiga. And the question, of course, is how can one bring all of these kabbonis on one day? So, as we learned in our previous shir, there are tashlumim, there are makeup days for Shavuos, and we learned actually that there are 7 days because we learned different sources to teach us this halacha, the halacha of tashlumim. So Rish Lakish offers another source how we know this halacha. Rish Lakish Amar, the pasuk says regarding Shavuos, V'chaga kotza b'kuri masecha asher tizra besoda. Says the Gemara, Ezo chag, which is the yontif? Shata chaygig v'kotz boy. It's a time of the year where we have a yontif and we cut the new grain. Hava oimazah tzeres. It's talking about Shavuos. But asks Rish Lakish Amos, exactly when on the yontif is it Chaga Kotzer? Ilem b'yontif, if we're going to say that it's on yontif, the question is, k'tzir b'yontif mishari, is it permissible to do k'tzir on yontif? El alav, it must be to come to teach us, l'mei tashlumim, that there are days of tashlumim, which are not yontif days, but still the days of the days that we like to do k'tzir, the days of tashlumim. Sfasemis makes a very important observation. He says, even though Rish Lakish is using this limud to tell us that Shavuos has tashlumim, we still need to rely, even Rish Lakish says, the Sfasemis, is going to have to rely on the shat that Rabbi Ishi offered. Because all this pasuk is teaching us is that Shavuos has tashlumim. But we wouldn't know from this limud how long is the tashlumim. It must be that we have Rabbi Ishi's Liman as well, that it's talking about. That's how we know the tashlum are 7 days. Amar Yochanan Almei Ata. If that's the way we're going to say, the pasuk when it speaks about Sukkah says Chag also b'tzeis hashanam. Eiz chag sheyesh by asifa, which is the yontif where we collect the grain. Have a oimez a chag Sukkah at Sukkah. Now again, Amos. Exactly when on Yontif are we doing this Asifa? Ilema b'yontif, if we're going to suggest on Yontif itself, the question is, Melacha b'yontif mishari, is it permissible to do Asifa on Yontif? There's a Melacha, and the Rishonim point out, that the Melacha here is the Melacha ma'amr. Gathering the stacks is a Issa d'raisa ma'amr. So certainly that, it can't be talking about Yontif. Ela b'chol moed. So we're going to suggest it's a chol moed. Ask the Gemara, chol moed mishari. Can we do malach on chol moed? As we learned and we're about to learn again, malach, of course, is also chol moed. So how must we understand the pasuk? We must understand the pasuk to be saying, chag abob is manasifa. It's not talking that we're actually doing the malacha on the yontif. The pasuk means to say that this is the time of the year when the malacha is done. If that's the way we're going to understand, then hachinami will say the same here. We'll say we're not talking about that we're doing the ktsira on yontif. Rather, we'll explain that it's talking about chag habob is manasifa, the yontif that comes in the time of Asifa, but it has nothing to do that the malach is done on Yontif. So if that's the case, Reish Lakish's limud, that there must be Teshlumim, because that's the time when we're going to do the Katsur, falls away. But we see from here that Tzira and Asifa can't be done on Yontif. So Turi Evan asks, why can't Katsira be done on Yontif? Katsira could be done on Yontif if it's Tzarech Eichel Nefesh. Says the Turi Evan, we mentioned this in our previous year as well, that since on Yontif we only could do Ktsira Mu'etis, a minimal amount of Ktsira, it's Yontif, that's why it's not considered that we're allowed to do Ktsira on Yontif. So Here we're saying that Ktsira, Asifa are all not permitted on Chol HaMoed. Ask the Tori Evan that we learned in Masechet HaMoed Katan that L'tzoruch Yontif, we are allowed to do Ktsira or Asifa on Yontif. So why is the Gemara saying that it's not Mutar on Chol HaMoed? So the Tori Evan says that the only amount that we're allowed to do in Yontif is only what is L'tzoruch Yontif. And since on Yontif, we only could do a small amount. Again, the same word of the Tori Evan is a raya that on that that's not called Ktsira and Asifa when you're just taking a little amount. Says the Gemara Mechlal, but based on what we just saw, that the Gemara said that Sifa may not be done in Yontif and may not even be done in Chol HaMoed, we see from here the Tavayu Svir Lehu. The both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree the Chol HaMoed also b'Asiyas Melacha. Then Chol HaMoed, it's also Asiyas Melacha. And this opens up a very important Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi learns, and that works best with Posh Pshat in the Gemara, that the Issa to Melacha on Chol HaMoed is Issa Midaraisa. And therefore the Gemara is saying, how could you say that when it says Chaga Osif, it means that you're going to be doing that Sifa on Chol HaMoed? Yontif is also to do Malacha on Yontif, even on Chol HaMoed. Explains the Beis Yosef, when we learned Masechet HaMoed Katan, that one may do a Davar Ovid on Chol HaMoed. So we see that Malacha is not absolutely Osir on Chol HaMoed. Explains the Beis Yosef, what that means is the Torah said Malacha is a Chol HaMoed. But the Torah left it over to Chazal to determine what is Mutar and what is Asur. And what the Gemara means to say, and in other words, according to Rashi, Malacha is Asur Chol HaMoed, but the Torah left it over to Chazal to define what is and wasn't and is not considered Malacha. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh, actually hold that the Isser of doing Malacha Chol HaMoed is a Drabonon. That we're learning this from Psukim in our Gemara, that it's also to do Malach on Chol HaMoed, they explain it's only an Asmachta. And they bring a Raya from a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Abba Bamamel wanted to institute that Malach should be allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Because he said that the entire reason one may not do Malach on Chol HaMoed is that the Chazal wanted that she spend the days of Chol HaMoed learning Torah, eating and drinking. But nowadays, that people don't act appropriately on Chol HaMoed, nothing, says Rabbi Abba Bamamel, is accomplished by saying that one may not work on Chol HaMoed. And that's why he wanted to say that we should be allowed to do Malach on Chol HaMoed. Says Tosfos, if the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is the Isser Daraisa, then there's nothing that he could have done to make it mutter. And also, that is the opinion of the Rambam, it seems, that the Rambam's opinion is that Malach and Chol HaMoed is an Issa Drabonon. The Ramban has a third opinion. The Ramban says that the actual Issa Malach and Chol HaMoed is an Issa Daraisa. Chazal, however, expanded on the rule. That means, midaraisa, any Malach, that's L'tzoruch HaMoed, any Malacha that's being done for the purpose of Yontif may be done on Yontif. Or if it's a Davar Ovid, the Halacha is, it may be done on Chol HaMoed. Chazal went and said that even if it's a Davar Ovid, and even if it's a Tzoruch HaMoed, if it involves a Tircha Merubah, it involves a lot of work, it involves a Maisa Umin, involves professional work, it may not be done on Chol HaMoed. So it's sort of a compromise position. Interesting also to point out, the Torah of course tells us that lifnei iver leisita michshol, that we're not allowed to cause somebody to do an aveira. And the kutim we have offered in Shas were gerim who were not that stringent in the performance of many mitzvahs. And the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah daf chof beis amud aleph tells us that one who hires a kuti to work on his field on Chol HaMoed is over lifnei iver leisita michshol, because he caused the kuti to be mechal yontif. So says the Ramban, From here is a raya that the isser of doing melacha chol hamoed is an isser deraisa. Because if it weren't an isser deraisa, why would one be over lifnei iver when he allow, when he causes a kuti to work on chol hamoed? The Ramban says there's only an isser lifnei iver when you cause somebody to be over a melacha deraisa. So the mefarshim, the achrayim, find this Ramban very difficult. Because they say that the isser of lifnei iver doesn't only apply to surah deraisa. The isser lifnei iver obviously applies by surah derabanan. If you cause somebody to be over an isser derabanan, you're certainly over lifnei iver. So the Achiezer makes the following distinction. He says there's a difference when you cause somebody to do an aveira b'shogig or you force somebody to do an aveira b'mezid. If somebody causes deliberately that somebody else to be over an aveira, even if the aveira that he caused them to violate is an issa d'rabbanan, certainly the person who caused them to be over the aveira will be over lifnei iver. But if he did not do it deliberately, then there's a difference if it's a melacha, if it's an issa d'raisa and issa d'rabbanan. So says Reb Chaim Oizer in his Sefer Achiezer in defending the opinion of the Rambam. The Ramban is saying that this person is, if you're going to do melacha and chol hamoed, is only going to be doing the melacha. You're causing him to do the melacha, but it was not deliberate. Since it wasn't deliberate, and maybe that's a proof that doing melacha and chol hamoed is actually only issa derabanan. And since it's only an issa derabanan, that's why the halacha would be there is no lifnei iver if it wasn't done deliberately. We know that there's a very famous discussion if one should wear tefillin on chol hamoed or one doesn't wear tefillin on chol hamoed. And there are those that suggest that that question, do you or don't you wear tefillin on chol hamoed, is very much connected to the machlokes rishonim that we just discussed in our Gemara. If we say that the issa melacha on chol hamoed is an issa deraisa, so then chol hamoed is like yontif. And of course, yontif, we don't wear tefillin. Whereas if we say that the issa melacha on chol hamoed is only an issa derabanan, that's why it's not a full-fledged yontif and one should wear tefillin on chol hamoed. The minig oilim, they're different menhagim. The Shulchan Aruch says that the minig is not to wear tefillin chol hamoed. The Ramah says the minig is to wear tefillin on chol hamoed. But we know there are many people, even of Ashkenazic descent, who don't wear tefillin chol hamoed. And even those that do wear tefillin chol hamoed, that those, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many achronim, the Prima Gadol, the Machzor HaShekel, the Taz, who are of the opinion that one should not make a bracha if he's putting on tefillin chol hamoed. And certainly, if one is wearing, even if one has the minig of wearing tefillin chol hamoed, he should make sure to take off the tefillin before halal is taken off, before the halal. There's also an interesting minig that the Divrei Chaim, the Sanz Rav, quotes about wearing tefillin chol hamoed. He says that the minig is that boys should wear tefillin until they're 18 years old. So there are different explanations in that minig. Some say because he saw, they used to come into shul in chol hamoed, and he saw that young boys were not davening seriously. So he knew if they wear tefillin, they're more likely to daven seriously. Others say, I saw a pshat, because why don't, as we just explained, why wouldn't we wear tefillin in chol hamoed? Because it's a mikra kodesh. But only when you're old enough and intelligent enough to recognize that it's a mikra kodesh, don't you wear tefillin. But when these boys are still younger, they don't have that recognition that today is a mikra kodesh. And since they don't have that recognition that today is a mikra kodesh, that's why they should wear tefillin. There's also another discussion in communities and shuls where there are people that come from different places that they have different menhagim. And the question is, so there are people in the shul that some people do wear tefillin and some people don't wear tefillin. Is that acceptable? Some suggest that it's lois sky to do, that if you have different menhagim in one shul, there's a question of lois sky to do. The Steichemetz seems to feel that there is no concern under such circumstances of lois sky to do, because he explains that in the communities that we live in, that are comprised of people coming from many different backgrounds, and everybody comes with his own minig, and everybody follows their own menhagim. Following the menhagim that you follow, because that's where you come from, is not a violation of lois sky to do. So Gemara delves in further into the issa malacha and chol hamoed, and asks the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know that malacha may not be done in chol hamoed? Says one of the Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, "Eschaga matzus tishmar shivus shom toichem matzus." And what does the Torah repeat shivus shomim? Limer achol shemoid to teach us the chol moed also mosias malacha divrei baishia. Rabbi Yonason aimer in etzarich. Rabbi Yonason says we don't need to have a prosuk. We don't have to have this drasha. Rather, we can learn it with a kavachaymer. Omar rishim shvi. If the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, shein kedusha lefneim lechreim, that there is no kedusha before the first day of Yontif or after the last day of Yontif, yet on those days it's also b'sias malachim. So certainly chol hamoed sheyesh kedusha lefneim, chol hamoed is enveloped by kedusha the days before chol hamoed lechreim, and it didn't sheyesh also b'sias malachim. So the different approaches in the Rishonim, how does the pasuk of Chag HaMatzis teach us this limud? Rashi says the word tishmar. The word tishmar always represents a loisasei, and the Torah is teaching us that we're not allowed to do malachim. Rabbeinu Chananel says we learn it. The Torah already says v'shamatim es hamatzis. What did the Torah have to repeat as Chag HaMatzis tishmar to teach us the issa malacha on chol hamoed? The Mukhe Yosef says that the word comes from Eschaga Matzis Tishmar, because the pasuk already says B'yom Rishim Mikrakodesh Yom Shvim Mikrakodesh, that the first and the last day are Yontif. What is the Torah adding with Chag HaMatzis Tishmar to teach us that all of Yontif is also Malacha? But the fact that the Torah said it this way, separating the balance of the Yontif versus the first and last day of Yontif, is to teach us, as we spoke about a little earlier, that the halachas on the first day and the last day and the chol hamoed days are not exactly the same. The Torah Evan says, as we sort of indicated, the fact that the Torah repeats the word shivus yomim teaches us that all 7 days are also malachim. So this is a pasuk, asked the Torah Evan, by Pesach. How will we know by Sukkos, by the chol hamoed Sukkos, has the same halacha, the chol hamoed yinaladu malacha? So the Torah Evan answers that the pasuk says, kol malachas levodu loisasu by Sukkos, and therefore we learn from that pasuk that chol hamoed Sukkos is the same halacha. So ask the Torah Evan, so yes, Rabbi Yonason just taught us a kavachomer, how we should know that one is not allowed to do malacha chol hamoed. But ask the Torah Evan, we know there's halacha emas hirim and adin, that we can't use a kavachomer to establish a lav. So yes, even if this kavachomer is a good, strong kavachomer, how can we use it to teach us a lav? So the Torah Evan answers that when is there a rule of emas hirim and adin? When this rule that we're trying to learn has no basis in the Torah. And now we're taking a kavachomer, and we want to establish a halacha, a lav, based on a kavachomer. So the halacha is we cannot base a lav on a kavachomer. But once there's a mitzvah to say that teaches us this halacha, then a kavachomer could expand the mitzvah to say and say there's even going to be a mitzvah lois to say. And says the Torah Oven, since the Torah says, Eilu mayadei Hashem mikroi kodesh, so that teaches us there's a mitzvah to say. So now the kavachomer that Rabbi Yonason now taught us will expand that not only is there a mitzvah to say, but there's a mitzvah lois to say as well. However, it's interesting that the Ramban says that you don't get malchus from this lav. And why don't you get malchus from the lav? Because just like there's a din of ein onshim emes hirim min adin that we just said, we cannot establish a we cannot establish a lav based on a Kal V'chomer unless we have the explanation that we just offered from the Turi Evan. There's also halacha that ain't onshim min adin. And it seems that the Ramban's opinion is that ain't onshim min adin is even more serious than mashir min adin. And we certainly cannot give an onish based on a Kal V'chomer. And because of that, suggests the Ramban, that even if we're learning based on this Kal V'chomer, the one cannot do melacha, based on a Kal V'chomer, the halacha will be that you don't get malchus for doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, so what was the Kal V'chomer? Because if the days where there is no Kedusha before and after the first and last day of Yontif, you're not allowed to do melacha, certainly so is the halacha on the first day, certainly so is the halacha on Chol HaMoed. But says the Gemara, let's look at every week. Every week has a Shabbos before it and has a Shabbos after it. And yet, we're allowed to do melacha all week long. Says the Gemara, we don't bring a Kavan Musaf every day of the week. Versus Chalamayid, Shesh B'Kavan Musaf. Says the Gemara, I prove to you that the bringing of a Kavan Musaf is not a factor. Because Rosh Chodesh Shechiyach, Shesh B'Kavan Musaf, we bring a Kavan Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, or Mutta B'Asiyas Malacha, and we're allowed to do Asiyas Malacha. Of course, Taisva says that you can't bring a raya from Rosh Chodesh, from Rosh Chodesh to Chol HaMoed. Because yes, Rosh Chodesh we also bring in Kavan Musaf like in Chol HaMoed, but Rosh Chodesh does not have the added dimension that has Kedusha in front of it and behind it. Whereas Chol HaMoed has the double aspect that we bring a Kavan Musaf and it also has Kedusha before it and afterwards. And Taisva says the Gemara could have asked that question, but the Gemara asks a different question. Ma l'Rosh Chodesh, Shein Karim Mikra Kodesh. Rosh Chodesh is not called a Mikra Kodesh. Taima B'Chol HaShemoed, whereas Chol HaMoed is called a Mikra Kodesh. And Hoy of a Karim Mikra Kodesh, so since Chol HaMoed is called a Mikra Kodesh, that's why Dinhu, that's also B'Sias Malacha. So our Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to do Malacha. Taisus asks that the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Masechta Megillah, says the Rosh Chodesh is a day that we're not allowed to do melacha. So how are we saying that Rosh Chodesh is a day that we're allowed to do melacha? So one Teretz Taisva suggests is when the Gemara says that we're not allowed to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh, it means the Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah obviously is Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. That's Rosh Chodesh that you're not allowed to do melacha. Another Rosh Chodeshim we're allowed to do melacha. Another Teretz that Taisus says, because only women don't do melacha on Chol HaMoed, but men are allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed. Why is Rosh Chodesh a yontif for women and not for men? Because when it came to the Maisa Egel, the Pasuk says that Aaron said, Pirku nizme hazov asher be'oznei nesheichem, and the Pasuk says, the men brought their jewelry, but the women refused to participate in giving their jewelry for the Maisa Egel. And that's why they were given a special yontif, which is Rosh Chodesh, which is only for women, which is a yontif for women and not for men. Another teretz Taisa suggests is that even if there's an issa melacha, as the Gemara we quoted says on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minig. It's not a full-fledged din. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that on Rosh Chodesh one is allowed to do melacha, but Noshim have the minig not to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh, and he says it's a minig toiv. Says the Pri Chodesh, if men want to accept such a minig, not to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh, it's a minig bairus. It doesn't make any sense. It's a yontif for men and not for women. So, our Gemara just said that Chol HaMoed is called Mikra Kodesh. So, if that's the case, asked Avni Nezer, we know that when Yontif ends, between Yontif and Chol HaMoed, we make Havdalah. And we make Havdalah, we make the Bracha, Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol. Ask the Avdinezer, why don't we make Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Kodesh? Because we just said that Chol HaMoed is considered Mikra Kodesh. Answers the Avdinezer, that even if we'll say, as the Gemara clearly says, as the Pasuk says, that Chol HaMoed is Mikra Kodesh, there's a difference between the Kedusha of Yontif and the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed. The Kedusha of Yontif is an independent Kedusha. The Kedusha of Chol HaMoed is only a Kedusha because it's connected to Yontif. So that's why, to differentiate that this is a lower level Kedusha, that's only Kedusha which is a derivative of the Kedusha of Yontif. To make that point, when we make Havdalah Matzah Yontif going into Chol HaMoed, we say Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol. But I did see that the Paiskim to suggest that if one made an error on Matzah Yontif going to Rosh Chodesh, going to Chol HaMoed, and he said Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Chodesh, given what we just learned in the Gemara, that Chol HaMoed are indeed days of Mikroi Kodesh, he would not have to repeat the Havdalah. Tanya Idach says the way we learned another Braisa. The Pasuk says, Kamalachas Avoid Leisasu. And then the pasuk says, "Shivas Yom Tekrivi Ish LaShem." Liman Achal Shemayid. From here, we learn that Chol HaMoed is also B'sias Malacha Divrei Rabbi Yosef Galili. And as we mentioned before, the pasuk that we had before was a pasuk regarding Pesach. The pasuk that we're learning now is a pasuk regarding Sukkos. And therefore, the Tori Evan says these two Gemaras are not exclusive of each other. Actually, the way to learn these two Gemaras, they complement each other. One Gemara is speaking about Chol HaMoed Pesach, the original Gemara, and this Gemara is speaking about Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Rabbi Kiva Im Ein Tzarech, Harayu Oimer, Eilu Ma'ade Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Ma'akos Medaber. What days is the Pasuk speaking about? E Berishin, if we're talking about the first day Yontif Sukkos, Halei Kfar Namar, the Pasuk clearly indicates, B'yoyim Harishin Shabbosin. Vim b'shmini, if we're talking about Shmini Atzeres, also rekeh nemer ubiyoy mashmini shabosam. Ha'ein akos medaber. Obviously, the pasuk is speaking about Chol HaMoed to teach us lamdcha, to teach us that Chol HaMoed is also b'sias malachim. Tan idach. There's another brisa. The brisa says sheis shomim toichel matzus ubiyoy hashmini atzeres l'Hashem l'kecha l'sasa malacha. Says the brisa mashvi otzer, just like on the seventh day, one may not do melacha. Af sheishes yomim atzurim. So to the first 6 days. Im mashvi otzur become melacha. Continues the Brisa. If that's the way we're going to learn, all melachas also on the last day yontif. I should say af sheishes yomim atzurim become melacha. So should be the halacha on all the other 6 days. Tamalaymer will be yoy mashvi. Shvi otz become melacha. The seventh day, all melacha is prohibited. Ve'en shishi yom matzur become melacha. Not all the other 6 days have that halacha. Halamasa akasu el chachamim. The Torah left it up to Chazal to teach us. Le melach, to teach us. Eze yom osur, veze yom mutter. Which day is osur or melacha, and which day is not osur or melacha. And furthermore, to teach us. Eze melacha surah, which melacha is completely asur, as we mentioned earlier, that some malachas are asur, a Chol HaMoed, ve'ez a muteris, and some malachas are mutter. The Torah, as we said earlier, Rashi teaches us, left it up to Chazal to make that determination. It says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, the biyoyim tavoyach, the day after Shavuos, which they still brought the Kabbanis of Shavuos, as we've been learning, why? So we learned in the Mishnah, Shlo Lekayim Divrei Omer Matzeres, we learned that the Tzedokim always felt that Shavuos should be on a Sunday, because the Torah says, regarding the beginning of the Kesfiras Omer, Mimochras HaShabbos, and therefore they always had Shavuos on a Sunday, to show that we completely disagree with the Tzedokim. We didn't want that day should be in any way celebrated as a Yontif. Shlo Lekayim Divrei Oim Matzeres Lacha Shabbos, that Shavuos always falls on a Sunday. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, how we learned in the Braisa, Maiso Meis Alaksa Balud, Alaksa once was Niftan Lud. And everybody came to say it Hesper on him. Rav Tarfon did not allow that to happen. It was on Shavuos. Says the Gemara, if we're saying that this actually happened on Shavuos, Mika Asu, what would be the Shaila? There was certainly no question that a Hesped is prohibited on Yontif. El Eima says the Gemara Mneishi Yom Tavayich Hayu. There was the Yom Tavayich, and we see that even though it was the Yom Tavayich, he didn't let them do a Hesped. And we're learning that we do a Hesped on the Yom Tavayich. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kabi Yontif Shchalis B'Shabbos. If Yontif falls out during the week, and therefore the Yom Tavayich is not on a Sunday. So if the Yom Tavayich is not on a Sunday, there's no room for this concern that we're going to get confused with Stoikim. And that's why we're allowed to do a Hesped on the Yom Tavayach. We're not allowed to do the Hesped on Yom Tavayach. It's like an Isruchag. An Isruchag, the Chatchila Hesruch should be limited. Can, when it came out, Shechal B'Yis B'Shabbos, and the Yom Tavayach was on a Sunday, and we didn't want anybody to get confused, that's why we made that the Yom Tavayach, they should, that Hespedim are mutter on that day. So the question is that the halacha is that the day that somebody brings a yontif, that somebody brings a carbon, is a yontif. So how could Chazal make that into a day that you're not allowed to say a hesped? As the Mishnah Melech asks, all of this was really only in the time of the Bayis, Beis Hamikdash, when they were bringing kabbonis. But nowadays, we don't bring kabbonis. So we don't bring kabbonis. Why should we not be allowed to say a hesped on the Yom Tavayach? So says the Mishnah Melech, that once Chazal established that Yom Tavayach, we're not allowed to say a hesped, we're allowed to say a hesped because of the concern, or we're not allowed to say a hesped, as we just learned, when there is no concern, even in future generations, where unfortunately, we're no longer bringing kabbonis on these days, the original halacha remains. We begin now the last part of our Masechta. The last part of our Masechta is very focused on Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. And reason it's mentioned here, because in Mitzvah Shem we're going to learn in a Mishnah, Daf Chav Vomim and Aleph, that in Eretz Yisrael, the halachas of Tumah Tahara on Yontif that are not the same as all year round. So because of that, we now begin speaking about Hilchos Tumah Tahara. Another pshat, because the halacha is Chayiv Odom Latar Atzmei Beregel. A person has to make sure that he's tar as Yontif comes. And therefore, since that's a very important part of our preparation for Yontif, we have to learn Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. When we speak about Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, there's of course the Avi Avos HaTumah, which is a mace. And then there's an Ava Tumah. An Ava Tumah is a sheretz, a zov, a nevela. An Ava Tumah, something that comes in contact with Ava Tumah, becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. Something that comes in contact with a Rishon becomes a Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi to Revi. There's never anything past a Revi. As far as Chulin is concerned, the lowest level of Tumah is a Sheni L'Tumah. As far as Truma is concerned, it could go on to a Shlishi L'Tumah. And as far as Kodesh is concerned, it could go on to Revi L'Tumah. There's a difference between Tumah, the word Tameh, and the word Pasul. The word Tameh means that this is something that's Tameh and has the ability to transmit Tumah further. The word Pasul means that this is Tameh, but it doesn't have the ability to transfer Tumah further. We find that, and as we will be discussing extensively, the Chazal made certain malos, or in our vocabulary, we would call it certain chumras, as far as Hilchos Tumah and Tahara, to make sure to protect different objects from coming Tameh under any circumstances. Min d'oraisa, there's no such a situation where only one part of the body is Tameh and not the rest of the body. You are Tameh or you are Tahar. But Chazal said that the Yadayim, the hands, a tamei. Why? Because Chazal said that the Yadayim are always in the category of a sheni l'tama, even if we don't know that they became tamei. And there are many reasons. One is because, as we learn in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos daf, your dalid, the halacha is that they wanted to protect the Kisvei HaKadosh, and they made tum on Kisvei HaKadosh. Since people touch Kisvei HaKadosh, they had to consider Yadayim Tumah, Yadayim Shnius. Another reason is because Yadayim Askani is saying, the hands are constantly in motion. And since the hands are constantly in motion, so that's why Chazal said that the Yadayim are Tumah. To make the Yadayim Tar, we have to wash them with a revius of water from a keli, or to put them into a mikvah. Because of that, because Chazal was so concerned, Chazal said that not only before a person is going to eat truma or certainly kachim, one has to wash his hands, but even if somebody is going to eat bread that's chulin, Chazal made a rule because of srach truma to make a mistake to do the same before you eat truma as you eat before eating chulin, that you always have to wash your hands. And that's the halacha that we begin the Mishnah with. Not only Yadayim, the hands, even though you don't know that they're tamei, we have to wash them. L'chulin u'lemaiser, whether we're going to eat chulin, whether we're going to eat maiser sheni, as we've mentioned many times, maiser sheni is in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. We have to take off maiser sheni, and that's produce that's supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Or we could redeem that produce and use the money to buy food in Yerushalayim, or a truma. Or somebody's going to eat truma. In all these cases, that we have to wash our hands first. Or a kaidish, but if somebody's going to eat kaidish, it's not sufficient that he should just wash his hands. He has to toivel his hands. He has to put his hand in a mikvah. And again, even though he doesn't know that his hands is tummy, this halacha, says Rashi, is somebody's going to eat kodesh. But if somebody's just going to touch kodesh, then you don't have to do tefil shadayim. There are other Rishonim who disagree with Rashi and say even if you're just going to touch kodesh, you have to be tovel your yadayim. Ulchatus, somebody who wants to touch the mechatus, we know the mechatus are the water that have in them the water that you're going to put the ash of the Eifah Parah in them. Chazal were very strict in coming in contact with that. And the halacha is that if somebody wants to touch mechatis, im nitmu yadav, if one of hands became tamei, nitmu kol gufoy, entire body is tamei, and he has to go to the mikveh before. So the Mishnah is teaching us, explains Rashi, going upwards, different chumras. First, the Mishnah taught us the halacha by chul and maisa truma, that netilas yadayim is enough. By kodesh, we have to have tefilas yadayim, and by chatos, we have to go. The entire person has to go to the mikveh. Says the Mishnah, tavel chulin. If somebody went to the mikveh in order to be able to eat chulin, and now he's allowed to eat chulin, v'huchsuk b'chulin, osla maisa, he may not eat maisa. Tavla Maisa, if he went to the mikveh for the purpose of being able to eat Maisa, V'ochsuk L'Maisa, and now he's allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, Osla Truma, he may not eat Truma. Tavla Truma, V'ochsuk L'Truma, Osla Kodesh. Tavla Kodesh, V'ochsuk L'Kodesh, Osla Chattis. And the Mishnah gives us a rule. Tavla Chomer, if you went to the mikveh for the purpose to be able to be on the highest level of Tahara, so that covers Mutal Kal, but it doesn't work vice versa. And the Sfas Emes tells us, why is the Mishnah have to tell us this then? Isn't it obvious? Says the Sfas Emes that the Mishnah wants to teach us that even though, as we're learning, that Mei Chatos, Chazal treated very seriously, but at the end of the day, mechatos are chulin, and therefore, since mechatos are chulin, maybe the halacha ought to be that the tefillah for chatos should not work for kodesh. teaches us the Mishnah that it does. Tavav lehuchzuk, another halacha. If somebody went to the mikveh and he didn't have any kavana, he just went to the mikveh, the halacha is kilo leitavol, the halacha is that he's not, as if he didn't go to the mikveh. However, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, even though it's not considered a valid tefillah if you didn't have kavana, for chulin, it will be considered a valid tefillah. Because for chulin, you don't have to have kavana when you go to the mikveh. Big day amaretz. A person, who, the garments of a big day amaretz, medras leprushin. Since the people, the amaretz, are not careful about tum and tahara, so somebody who only eats prushin, are individuals who only eat their chulin b'tahara, they have to be concerned that those begodim are tamei. And therefore, if he came in contact with those begodim, he has to go to the mikveh first. Big day trushim, that are careful to eat chulin b'tahara, are medras like letruma. Again, if you're careful at a lower level, doesn't mean you're careful for a higher level. Big day echel truma, medras lekaidish. Big day kaidish, medras lechatis. And again, the same rule. The halacha is that we always have to be more careful. The lower level doesn't cover the higher level. And we have to be careful that, concerned that maybe it came in contact with tumah. Yois ben Yazid ha'yo chasid shebekuna. Yois ben Yazid was a very serious chasid shebekuna. V'mistapcha medrash l'kodesh. Even though he was, of course, very careful to make sure that his tumah never became tumah, he wasn't concerned about kodesh, and therefore his metapchay, his garment was medrash lekodesh. Yochman gugoda ha'oichal ataras lekodesh kol yomav v'yimetpachta medrash lechatus. He was careful for truma, for kodesh, but he wasn't careful for chatus, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. And as the mefarshim explained, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? That even though these people were very big tzaddikim, and there were people who were certainly careful in Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara, the rule applies to them as well. Ask the Gemara, Chulun u'maisim v'boyin u'toyel shidayim, is the halacha that before you eat Chulun u'maisim, you have to wash your hands. V'rimini, the Mishnah says, in Masechet Bikurim, ha'truma bikurim chayovin aleim, a zor who ate truma or bikurim is chayiv misa. If a zar ate truma or bikurim, he has to pay the kain a karen v'chaimish. Vasal zarim, there's an isalav ve'nechse kain. They considered the property of the kain. What it means is that the kain could use it to do business. The kain could buy things with it. The kain could be mekadesh anisha. Why does the Mishnah repeat the words osel zarim? So there are many answers given to this answer. The Rashi says that indeed, as far as Truma is concerned, there's no need to repeat it. The teachers, he says, the reason it says Osel Zorim is to say that this is our halacha strictly by Truma and Bikurim, but not by Meiser. Another pshat is to teach us that when the Zor eats Truma, he's over a lav. Another pshat is that Osel Zorim is to teach us the din of Chotzi Shir. We know that B'chol HaTorah Kula, when it says you're not allowed to eat something, you're not allowed to eat a kazayis. But let's say you ate less than a kazayis. So indeed, the punishment that we began with, Misa, won't apply if you didn't eat kazayis. But you're still over an Isser Daraisa. The Mitzvah Eisen says what Osel Zorim comes to teach us. That let's say you have an individual who is not always a Zor. For an example, a Bas Kohen that married a Yisrael. So until she married the Yisrael, she was in the category of a Kohen, of Kahuna. And she was mutter to eat Truma. The Mishnah is teaching us that once she becomes married to the Yisrael, Osel Azorim, the halacha to her is like the halacha is ten Yisrael. The shear where Truma gets mixed in with chulin, its bottle is a ratio of 100 to 1. V'tunin, netil shidayim, before you eat them or touch them, you have to wash your hands. Veher of Shemesh, if somebody was tum and he went to the mikvah, he still may not eat Truma Bikurim until after Tzeis Kechavim of the day he went to the mikvah. Harei Eilu B'Truma Bikurim, and it concludes the Mishnah, that these are all halachas by Truma Bikurim, Mash Enk V'Maisa, which are not the halacha by Maisa. So clearly, that halacha is, these halachas don't apply by Maisa, and certainly, V'Kosh Kein B'Chulim. So we see that the Chulin and Maisa don't require Netil Shadayim. Yet our Mishnah said that they do require Netil Shadayim. And that's the Gemara. Kasha Maisa Maisa, Kasha Chulin and Chulin. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Maisa Maisa, the stira, the contradiction that we ask by Maisa, like Kasha, we could resolve. Hara Meya, for Hara Boran. Our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameya. The Mishnah Masech Bikurim represents the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanan, the Mishnah in Masech Depara teaches us. Kol Aton Bias Maim Divrei Soifrim. Anybody who Midarais is Tomei, and only the Rabbanan required him to go to the mikveh, whether or wash his hands, all of these people, Metame as a Kodesh, if such a person touches Tomei, it makes it into a Shlishi, and by Kodesh, Shlishi is Tamei. It has the ability, as we said at the beginning of this sugya, to make a revi. Or Paisel Satruma. By Truma, since Truma, the last stop, is a Shlishi, so the Yadayim are a Shnius, and the Truma will become a Shlishi. Shlishi is the furthest Madrega by Tuma of Truma, and that's why it's Paisel. It's Tamei, but it cannot transmit Tuma further. Muto L'chul Maiser, and somebody can eat Chulam Maiser under such circumstances, Divrei Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. V'cham Oysim. So now we could understand. The Mishnah that says that you have to wash your hands is going to the opinion of Rabbanan. The Mishnah Bikurim is following the opinion of Rameya. But ask the Gemara, Chulam Chulam Kasha. How do we answer the Stira? The Mishnah Masech Bikurim says you don't have to wash your hands for Chulam, and our Mishnah says you do. Answer the Gemara, like Kasha. Kam Bachila. Our Mishnah is talking about eating chulin. Before you eat chulin bread, you have to wash your hand. Kam benegia. The Mishnah Masech Bikurim is talking about touching chulin. Touching chulin, when you don't intend to eat it, does not require washing hands. Maskler of Simi Barashi. At kan lepliga Rabbanan leid Rameya el bechil demaisa. The Rabbanan in Masech Depara who disagree with Rameya only speak about eating maisa without washing your hand. Al benegia demaisa, when it comes to touching Maisa, or the chulin, or when it comes to eating chulin like pligi, and they all agree that you're allowed to touch Maisa without washing your hands, and you're allowed to eat chulin without washing. So we're back to our question. Our Mishnah, it says that you have to wash your hands, and the Mishnah Masech Bikurim says you don't have to wash your hands. So how do we reconcile that? It says, Gemara, Ali Idi V'Idi Bachila. Both Mishnahs are talking about eating chulin. V'loi Kasha. Kam Bachila Din Hama. When you eat bread, you don't have to wash your hand. Kam bachila de peri. When you wipe bread, you do have to wash your hands. Bachila de peri, when you're eating fruit of Bikurim Truma, you need not wash your hands. That's what the Mishnah Masech Bikurim says. Dor Rav Nachman, kol anoitel yodav leperis, if somebody washes his hands before he eats fruit, even Meiser, and certainly Chulin, Harez Megasi Ruach, is considered arrogant. If Chazal said it's not required, you should not do something that Chazal said. You should not do something that Chazal said it's not required. Of course, the question comes up. So if so, why do we wash our hands by the Seder on Karpus? So the answer is because the Karpus is being dipped into water. And therefore, halacha is something that's tibuloi b'mashke has to be, there you do wash your hands. But the Rishonim point out that that's not clear ibizman hazeh, where we're not machmen tumat tahara. And also, we know that we eat less than a kazayis of the karpas. And if you're eating less than a kazayis, so there's a svek sveka, why you should have to wash your hands. Number one, the halacha is that bizman hazeh, we don't wash our hands at all, and certainly not by less than a kazayis. So the answer is, the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh says that we wash our hands because the whole purpose of the Seder night is that the children should ask questions. The children should ask the Manishtana. So even though the halacha doesn't require that we should wash our hands, in order to get the children to ask questions, that's why we wash our hands. Or even though b'zman hazeh we don't necessarily wash our hands because tum and tahara, it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, but we want to commemorate on the night of the Seder the way the world looked when the Beis HaMikdash stood, so that's why we do different things as they were done when the Beis HaMikdash stood.